Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Stephen Serda. It's a victory Monday in Kansas City as they move on, taking down the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs move on and will take on the Philadelphia Eagles in this year's Super Bowl. We heard from head coach Andy Reid on Monday after the Chiefs' big win.
I'm proud of the guys that obviously that pushed themselves through the nicks and bruises and sprains and everything else that we had. We were down to three wide receivers. Our secondary was, we were missing a couple guys there. And, they just, everybody pushed through and made it work. So very proud of that for our guys. Very proud of Sky Moore for the ability to catch the punt and then make the return that he did, really put us in a great position. And then for Bucker, who's had this high ankle sprain that just bugged the heck out of him for a good part of this season. And he's changed his kickoffs. He's changed the way he approaches the ball and so on. And for him to step up and just crank that thing, at the end of the game for the game winner was really special. So for him, he's been a great player for us, and he had a couple of hiccups this year, but just came through in the clutch there. So, and I can go through all the players. Pat and Trav and all these guys that stepped up and played. Chris Jones and had a unbelievable game. Unbelievable game. And Frank Clark, his energy and the way he played was great. And each guy did his thing. That young secondary that we've been kind of just bringing along. David's done a nice job with that, bringing these guys along, and for them to have the plays that they made with the interceptions, I thought was a real tribute to the coaches and the players there. So great game plans by the coordinators. All three phases stepped up. So, and here we get to have the opportunity to play a great team in the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And it should be really something. That's should be a great venue, and two good football teams playing each other. You don't get to this point unless you're a good team. So proud of our guys, proud of the organization for the job that everybody did. And here we sit. So with that, time's yours.
Go first to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon. I hope you had a good cheeseburger last night before you went to sleep.
You bet, Herbie.
Two questions here for you. Understanding that he will have to go through the concussion protocol, but what is your concern level with Legarius Sneed's availability this weekend, hopefully for the Super Bowl? And I'll have a second one.
Yeah, we'll see how he does here today. I see where he's at. I don't want to make any predictions either way, but listen, that kid has done a great job for us. He was going to obviously cover number one most of the day. And as he's done the last few games, just the primary receiver. So, if he can be back, he'll be back. If not, then he's not, then we have to go a different direction. So.
And the second question, Coach, you're a man who appreciates the history of the NFL and everything about it, but you know, this Super Bowl, you're going to have two starting black quarterbacks, obviously Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. What is the significance of that to you, especially since you've had Donovan McNabb as well?
Yeah, well, listen, I think the biggest thing is they're really good. And I think that is a tribute to the kids. That's unique. It is unique. I don't ever look at it that way. I don't really care what color you are. You're a good player, which at that position takes a tremendous amount of time and effort. I can really appreciate that. And I've never been one that really looked at the color part of it. Where I grew up, we had everybody. Everybody was a part of the equation. And that's someday I hope that's the way it all works. And as we go on, you'll never have to be asked a question like this again. I mean, you know, I understand why you're asking it, Herbie, absolutely. But, it's a tribute to the kids, though. I mean, they're both of them are phenomenal players, and I'm happy for both of them.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, congratulations on last night, by the way. You touched a little bit on this after the game last night, but I want to ask you a little more about your group of rookies. Did you feel like you got more out of that group than maybe you thought you would when the season started? And Brad, I'll have a second question as well.
Yeah. You know, I remember talking to the guys about Bill Walsh and when he had that group of rookies in the secondary, the Ronnie Lott group, and they were all rookies and they end up going to the Super Bowl. And I mean, it seems like a long time ago that I mentioned that to the guys and to our coaches at least. And here we sit. So obviously there was a concern, but there was an optimism there too, that it can be done. And then the kids, just their work ethic, they showed us this in training camp. They showed it all the way through the season. They weren't, if they got beat, they came back and fought back to, I mean, you look at Williams, the PIs that he had early that put us in a bad position. All of a sudden he comes up with an interception in the championship game with a deflection from Cook. It's crazy how those things work, but the kids stepped up. They didn't lose their confidence. David's done a great job with them, and real tribute to them. So I was optimistic, but you don't know how that journey is going to go, but here we sit and they sure did a nice job.
Yeah. Okay. I asked this next question, understanding you still have another game to go here. So don't misunderstand that part of it. But put into perspective, if you could, what you guys have achieved this year, given, you know, you've got a quarterback on a big contract now and you traded Tyreek Hill and there's all these rookies you've been playing, particularly on defense, like we talked about. Can you put in perspective what kind of achievement maybe this was?
Yeah, so I would start with Brett Veach and the way that he and his guys have gone about putting this thing together for the coaches, giving the coaches an opportunity to coach good players. It includes everybody. I mean, it includes Mark. It includes Clark. I mean, that they're all part of that, giving us the opportunity to do what Brett can do by bringing these guys in. So, but his process, the process that he goes through, you guys have gotten to know him now. I mean, the process that he goes through, he's relentless. He's committed. He's got a great eye for talent. He's fearless when it comes into trades and drafts and all those things. I mean, it's just, it's been fun for me to watch and watch him grow. So.
Let's go next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Coach, appreciate the time here. I know you kind of touched on this yesterday, but wanted to get you again on it. There was a lot of trash talk between both teams, but specifically to the Cincinnati mayor. I know you've been coaching for a long time. a lot of weird stuff gets said. Have you ever seen anything like that? And how motivating do you think that specific part, the mayor of Cincinnati, was to getting your team ready to go?
Well, listen, everybody, they're excited. I mean, they were excited to have their team there. So everybody jumped in on it, and the mayor was part of it. And hey, it's a tribute to him for being so excited to have this football team. But at the same time, you probably don't want that. I'm sure Zach probably didn't want that out there. And but listen, it happened. Our guys, obviously, Kelsey noticed it being from there. So, he threw out a little rock on them, and that's what that. So obviously they heard it.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Coach, congratulations. You've done this a few times now in the past. I know that you like to really almost treat this week as the game plan week. Will that be the case again? And why do you feel like that strategy has worked for you in the past?
Yeah, Pete. So we will. And I think it's important. I think before you get down to Arizona with the distractions and the different events that go on, you'd like to at least have the base part in where you've got a good foundation of the game plan. If you have to tweak it here or there, you can do that. But you really, while it's relatively calm here and normal, then let's get it done. I mean, it's really that simple.
Let's go next to Dave Scritta. Go ahead, Dave.
Morning, or I guess afternoon by this point, Andy. You're going to be asked about Philadelphia 100 times probably in the next 2 weeks. I didn't realize that you'd actually won the last six matchups, three with Philadelphia and three with Kansas City, which is kind of odd. Do you like this, knowing that you can't pick who you're facing? Do you like the idea of playing Philadelphia? And does it make it harder or more difficult or more time consuming away from the field, knowing that you're going to be facing Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think when you really cut to the chase on it, they're a really good football team. And so I think that's where the energy goes. Cause really when it's kickoff, you're playing that team. I mean, it's the players that you're going against and the coaches. And so the uniform, that's not where your mind's at. Your mind's at making sure you have a solid game plan and that you come out and you can perform. I mean, that's to the best of our ability. And that's, I think, where the major focus goes. And you try to, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You try to blank out all the hype that goes with the game. It's pretty big game for everybody, you guys included. It's a big deal, man. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. So, but you try to blank that out and make sure that you're getting the game plan, what really matters, together,
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy, a couple things here real quick, but just having coached Jason and Travis, I mean, we can see their personalities a little bit on the podcast, but what stands out to them, maybe that's similar, and maybe what's different about those guys?
Yeah, so Travis is the little brother, and I think Big Brother probably protected him, so Travis could do some crazy things, and he probably talked him from jumping off a ladder into the raked up leaves once or twice, So but listen, they're both at heart very competitive and compassionate. I think is the biggest thing. They care, and they care about people, and they care about their game, their trade, and their podcast. It looks like it's unbelievable. I mean, they've got a good mesh there and a good relationship between the two of them. I think Travis has grown up a lot. I think Jason came in probably more mature, Big Brother, and Travis was a little more immature, but has really grown and a good person, man.
Thanks, Andy. And then wanted to ask you about Chris Jones' game last night as well. You touched on it briefly in your opening statement, but just what kind of impact did you see when you rewatched the game that he had on the game?
Yeah, huge impact. He was relentless, and And he did it against the run, and he did it against the pass. And just playing, I mean, he's done this all year. I mean, he's just played tremendous football all year.
Let's go next to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And Brad, I'll have a follow-up. Coach, the decision to punt in the fourth quarter, so many different things that went into that, right? Like the last time you played Cincinnati, you punted, you didn't get the ball back. The receivers, I think at one time your three wideouts were Marcus Kemp, Jody Fortson, and Noah Gray, you know, two tight ends slotted out. So you've got personnel issues. Like how much – and you've got to do it all in one play, right, in one shot clock. Sure. How many of those things are going through your head? How many of those things do you actually have a chance to kind of consume and go through when you make that decision to go ahead and punt the ball?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you go through that. I mean, you have to. And then you go off your gut feeling. I mean, you're right at that area where, you know, some would say go for it. Some would say kick it. I thought our defense was playing well enough where we surely could – punt the ball and with probably minimal seconds or time on the clock, get the ball back. So, but we've been able to do some good things with limited time. So you have that in the back of your mind. And as far as the players go, we trusted the guys that were in there. They did a marvelous job for us. So I'm proud of them and the coaches for at least having all these guys knowing the plays when they always don't get that amount of reps, especially at different positions there. So,
And I know you, listen, you got a coach from I'm assuming, and not having never been a coach, but somewhat of an assumption of success for each guy, right? That each guy is going to be able to get it done. I asked this of Dave, you know, when Sky Moore and, you know, when they're having the problems with the holds on the kicks. Is there ever a time that he's had to, you know, go to you and say, hey, the guy can't do it, whether it's his kicker or his returner or something like that, or would he, I guess was my question. And he said, yeah, that's my job to do it. And then he kind of reflected on his own and said, but I've never had to do it. Have you ever had a moment? Like, was there a time where you're like, whether it was Sky going back there and you mentioned he got it done or, you know, any other situation where it's like, I don't know if Tommy can get this. You've just checked off in your mind, the guy can't do it. Or as a coach, do you always have to assume they're going to get it done?
No, that's a great question. There's a time and a place where you go through training camp and you watch the guys return these punts every day. You watch them before practice, return these punts. And you go, man, this kid has a lot of talent. He just hasn't done it a lot. And then if there's failure mixed in with that, you hope you can take a step back to take two steps forward. And that's kind of where we were with Sky. We just felt like, listen, if he can just get back and maybe have some success doing other things as a receiver, that maybe we can come back to this and his confidence level will be up and we go. And so, that's what happened. And with this and with the injuries that took place, here he is and a clutch time and came up with a clutch play. I mean, that between that and Butker's kick, I mean, you know, arguably two of the really redemption stories that you guys get into. And as coaches, we appreciate, you know, so it was quite a deal to watch.
We've got time for a couple more. We'll go Vahe and then Matt. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Andy, congratulations. And Brad, I'll have a follow-up too. Hey, Andy, one thing with the Eagles, I remember speaking with you and Clark a little bit about this once, that I think there's a sense of a mutual agreement almost at the end of your tenure there, and that you actually encouraged Jeff Lurie to say, look, we need to make a change. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit, and then I'll have the follow-up.
Yeah, so I think we both listen, it was 14 years. So that's a long time to be someplace, and there were 14 great years. I mean, I loved every minute of it. It was Jeffrey Lurie is a phenomenal owner and did a great job for me, my family, everything. So, but it got to that point. They needed – I thought it would be good – and Jeffrey felt this way, that it'd be good for them and good for for me. And I appreciated his feeling on that. And we left with a ton of respect for each other. I mean, I think he does a heck of a job. And Howie Roseman was also part of that. So he was involved. And I'm so happy for him. I don't think he gets near enough credit for what he's been able to do with that team. So, and replenishing. So I love Philadelphia. I love the city. I've been blessed to be in three phenomenal places in the NFL. And I'm loving every minute in Kansas City.
And the follow-up, Andy, so when you came here, you were going to bring, I think this is right, David Culley with you. So you already had a receivers coach, which meant a tough talk with Nick Sirianni, but Nick has always referred to that as something that was important to him. Can you just tell us about that a little bit and how that went and what that was like for you?
Yeah, well, when I came here, I was told Nick Sirianni is this guy is really a special coach, really, really a good football coach. Ted Cruz was his biggest fan at that time and just said, this guy is really, really good. But I had David. David was my assistant head coach, and he'd been with me for 14 years. And so he was coming with me, and I had to make that determination to keep Nick or not. And I knew he, being as good as he was, the reputation he had, I knew he was going to get something. And so it's worked out great for him.
We'll ask to Matt McMullen. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Coach, you touched on this a bit late last night, but I'm just curious what you thought of the crowd yesterday and how they helped you guys get the victory.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Matt, they were unbelievable. That crowd was loud, loud. You could feel the energy. And then, listen, for them to stick around afterwards, nobody left. It was crazy how many people were there. I mean, I just kind of took it in for a second, just looking around. And I mean, it was a packed house. And we love playing here. We appreciated the support. They do matter. I know other people use the 12th man thing, but when they crank it up, man, it's tough on these quarterbacks and the offensive line with the procedure penalty and so on. So it's again, it's a great tribute to our fans. The sea of red is something special.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.